And now you're up to date. Hi, everybody. I'm Al Ross. It's time for Spectrum West here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We're in the limbo week before the Super Bowl. Super Bowl, as if we care, huh? Well, for you Minnesota, you don't care either, do you? Looking forward to introducing you today, or if you've heard him before, bringing him back, the likes of singer-songwriter John Gorka, who comes to the Heidi Center in Chippewa Falls tomorrow night. We'll look at next weekend's Banbury Art Crawl on today's show. Jim Oliver talks with a player in the famous Second City Improv troupe. The Laughing Out Loud Tour comes to Ladysmith tomorrow night. We have a look at the River Falls Community Theater production of Becky's New Car. And guess what? Things are heating up again for the Chippewa Valley Youth Symphony. Auditions have resulted in four new members joining the ensemble, and the annual concerto competition is tomorrow afternoon and features six finalists. Music director is Dr. Peter Haberman, a very active gentleman at UW Eau Claire and in the community. This conversation covers music, travel, and food, and begins with a reflection on the accomplishments of young people. Dr. Haberman.
For me, it's always a celebration watching students that may not have been at that level before achieve a new level of musical mastery through a process like this. Mm-hmm. They had to turn in a CD way back in December with an accompanist, so they've been working on this since the fall. Yeah. And then when they find out they're a finalist, now they have a month to prepare and they have to do it again live in front of hundreds of people, which can be nerve-wracking, of course, but also, you know, makes them take it to a new level, memorization, a whole bunch of things that they may not have experienced. And so that's exciting to watch them and hear just the great talent of some of these kids that are, I think our youngest student this year is 15.
Wow.
And it floors me. So for me, it's a celebration when I hear that concert. I'm all smiles because I just see these students that just are flourishing. And then, of course, we get to show them off with the Youth Symphony in May at our concert. But for me, that's really what that becomes.
And so what are they playing?
It's a concerto competition, so they're all playing concertos or single movements of concertos for their respective instruments. There's an approved list that nobody really cares about, but if they're not on that standard, that's kind of what that list creates.
Four from Eau Claire, one from Chippewa Falls, one from Hudson. Is there a time limit for what they play?
They have to play under 14 minutes. Usually it's about 10-minute piece.
Wow.
This is why they don't do it. Most full concertos are about 20 minutes long with all the movements or more. So they usually do one movement.
Get to use music? Do they have to memorize it?
It's encouraged that it's memorized. Okay. By the time they get to finals and the performance, it's not required, though all of our performers that have won this finals competition have had it memorized in the last few years.
How tough is that to memorize something that's that long?
I think it depends on the person. You know, some people can memorize quickly, but if they've been playing it as long as they have, it's almost like you've ingested it. You're just singing through your instrument by the time you get to that point. Like people doing a speech, some people use note cards. Some people even write one or two words, and they remember after a while what they're going to say, and then they get to a confidence point where they can go out and do that.
And the winner will be announced?
The winner will be announced that day. The top three will be announced, I should say, as winners. And then the first place does get to perform with us in May on our Sunday concert, May 20th.
So you're just back from an exciting trip. Bob Baca mentioned it to me, and now I understand you were along.
I was as well. And Randall Dickerson, our marching band director, was along. Under the Blue Gold Marching Band, took a two-week trip to Rome and then a Mediterranean cruise for 11 days around Greece, Turkey, and Israel. We performed both in Rome and on the cruise ship, and then I, from the group of marching band students, I took a smaller concert band, and we featured Bob Baca as our trumpet soloist. Mm-hmm. And played, and it was just a life-changing trip. I don't know how else to say it.
Vocal groups and other ensembles have gone there. How do you make connections to do these kinds of things? What kinds of people get you to perform on a cruise ship and in Europe?
That's a good question. It's kind of a tour company, actually, in the sense that they do cruises where they do these music festivals on cruise ships, for instance, in the Caribbean. And that spurred us in the idea, hey, look, five or six high school bands brought their stuff on the ship and we do a festival and you adjudicate them and it's a big experience through music on a cruise ship. Why don't we go in January and do this in the Mediterranean? And we proposed it to the cruise company who'd never done anything like this before. They were great to work with. Stored our instruments and set everything up, had a professional theater group in the in the performing venue. And so it was kind of new to them. And we just took an idea that had been done before and bent it to a performance for us.
Now tell the people how impressive the performance venue was.
There is a 1,200-seat auditorium in the cruise ship.
That's like having a state theater in...
That's correct. It was three floors of the cruise ship and took up about the front third. And they were rock stars. Our students were rock stars. They had three performances on the ship. The first performance was quite full, 80% full, and we left the doors open so they could hear us, which was great. And then the cruise director saw the performance, and he started making announcements and posting it in the bulletins and letting people know ahead of time. By the second and third performance, not only were there 1,200 seats that were full, it was standing room only in the back of all the balconies, and it was...
Wow.
It was a sight to be seen. Students were having their pictures taken with guests on the ship. They would see somebody and say, "Are you, you with the American band?" And they would have their picture taken with them. And it was quite fun for, you know, a trombone or a tuba player to be a rock star on a ship. So
that
was
very
cool.
Our guest is Dr. Peter Haberman, director of bands, UW-Eau Claire, also musical director, Chippewa Valley Youth Symphony. Back to the cruise for just a second. Was that a special cruise? Was it music educators? Did people know they were going to be hearing what they were hearing? Or was this just a regular cruise and you just happened to be the entertainment?
Regular cruise, 3,500 passengers, and we just happened to be some entertainment. Everybody else was just mainly European, many, many nationalities. You know, it wasn't like going on an American cruise liner. We were on an Italian cruise ship, so that was even more fun to watch us be rock stars.
So now you use the term life-changing experience.
Selfishly, as a musician, spending 3 days in Rome, and as an art lover, being in the Vatican, being in the museums, at the Colosseum, that was eye-opening. I've learned about all these works of art and places before in Michelangelo, and then I got to see it. Also, to hear Italian, which I, as a musician, live in the world of reading and hearing Italian all the time, was exciting to be part of that. And then the trip went to Athens, Greece, Parthenon, famous museums, Euro sandwiches.
Okay.
And then we went to Olympia, the birthplace of the Olympics. Both of those were in Greece, which is a very different country than Italy. And then we went to Izmir, Turkey, and Ephesus, and ancient ruins. It's from 2,500 years ago. They may have only had stone chisels and ropes, but I'm telling you, they built things that are just as marvelous as what we do today with all the mechanical advantages we have and the internet and radio. It was opening. And then we went to Jerusalem and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and a lot of places that have a lot of significance to people on the trip, and to see how much life is different today than it may have been 2,000 years ago, but is very close to life of that time as well.
How are we doing making euros in America?
We do all right, but the spices on the meat were different, and the tzatziki sauce was it's totally different. More garlic, thicker, more cucumber. I don't even know how they do that. It was just, I had to have two of them, actually, in my time there.
Well, we're recording this around lunchtime, so gotta go.
Yeah.
Always good spending time with Peter Haberman and all the men and women who lead and participate in music ensembles in West Wisconsin. Do we appreciate our good fortune often enough? I hope so. By the way, concerto competition finalists are Natalie Burmeister of Chippewa Falls, Angie Coyle, Diane Hu, Harley Singh, and Jordan Stoka, I hope that's pronounced right, of Eau Claire, and Levi Wehrman from Hudson. Good luck to all of them. This is Spectrum West. Thanks for being here. I'm Al Ross. It's 5:15. Gordon Hedahl is directing the play Becky's New Car, which opens next Friday from the River Falls Community Theater. We spent a few minutes together talking about how the responsibilities of being a UW River Falls dean just couldn't keep him from the stage.
Even while I was in the dean's office, I did some directing for the theater department. I finished my career the way I started, teaching and directing, and was involved in the summer theater program in River Falls that they had here for many years. Retired in the spring of 2009, and had for years been attending the productions of the community theater. After seeing many of those shows, there was a possibility for me to take over and direct one of the Christmas shows, Christmas Carol. I did a version of that for community theater a couple of years ago. Had directed another Christmas musical, and then this year I'm directing a smaller cast comedy.
Okay. River Falls Community Theater has a storied history, does it? Is it?
Well, it's been going for 20-some years. They do not have their own space, so they tend to perform in various spaces around the city. But they've had a community group that's been very active, do several shows a year, some in conjunction with the high school, all involve community performers and people and technicians and everyone working on the show. Also some theater for children.
Mm-hmm.
And do a big, they bring in a company in the summer that stages a huge production in a couple of weeks in the summertime.
Sounds as if the community theater gets creative on finding venues for this, because I see that the play that we're about to describe, Becky's New Car, is going to be presented in the library.
Right, yes. There's the take over the gallery space in the public library, and they've done a show in the library for the last several years.
Mm-hmm. All right, a little bit about the play, Becky's New Car, please.
Okay, Becky's New Car, it's a contemporary comedy by Stephen Dietz. He's a playwright currently based in Seattle, I think, but it's a new show. It was first done in 2008 at ACT in Seattle, the professional theater company there, and they commissioned it as a new work for American theater. And it's just beginning to be produced around the country.
Mm-hmm.
It was licensed by Dramatists Play Service in 2010, so it's fairly recently released for amateur production.
Okay, big cast, small cast?
It's a small cast. It's seven people. The play centers around a character named Becky Foster. She works in a car dealership. She's got a graduate student son who's living at home, and her husband is a roofer. She's kind of looking at her life and imagining what else might happen at this stage in her life, and you know, her mid-50s, and mm-hmm. And so starting to look around, and is this what my life is, and is this what it's going to be?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very theatrical play. She talks directly to the audience, at times involves the audience to help her with a couple projects, help her get dressed for a big event, that kind of thing. It's very theatrical, but it also, the characters are very real, very contemporary, very fun and interesting. Dietz sets up the script so that it gets increasingly complex, and you discover lots of things about these people and hopefully a little bit about how people interact in the world today.
So you are in rehearsal now, because you have performances coming up on beginning February 3rd and 4th, and then also the 9th, 10th, and 11th?
That's correct. I've got a strong cast of people from the community. The woman playing Becky is Emily Lyon Hansen, taught theater at the high school and directed for many years here. You know, she's working really hard on this wonderful part, and I think people will have a good time in seeing her and seeing the others in the show as they work to bring those characters to life.
Becky's New Car. They'll begin bringing it to life a week from tonight, 7:30, in the gallery area of the River Falls Public Library. It runs through February 11th. Pre-sale tickets can be purchased at Dish and Spoon Coffee House, Main Street, River Falls, and tickets will also be available at the door. Becky's New Car from the River Falls Community Theater. Your attendance and, of course, your enjoyment is what keeps community theater alive and well in western Wisconsin. 20 minutes after 5 on Spectrum West.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering online and phone loan applications for student loans, consolidation, vehicles, a line of credit, and more. Information online at wisconsincu.org.
Well, the Janet Carson Gallery at the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center is featuring an exhibit by UW-Eau Claire Professor Jason Lanka, UW-Eau Claire grad Kathleen Seitz, too, multimedia and performance art up through February 17th. Well, the famed improv group Second City is in the Spectrum West neighborhood. Here's Jim Oliver with that dialogue.
Kate Friedman is a member of the cast of the Second City Laugh Out Loud Tour, which is appearing Saturday at the Ladysmith High School Auditorium under the auspices of the Flambeau Valley Artists Association. Second City of Chicago and Toronto is probably the best-known sketch and improvisational theater anywhere. Dating back to its predecessor, Compass Players, in 1950, Second City has produced such alumni as Tina Fey, Stephen Colbert, Mike Myers, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and the list goes on and on. Kate Friedman joins us today to talk about the Second City and the Laugh Out Loud Tour and anything else we can get her to talk about. Welcome, and thank you for coming on with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Jim. It's such an honor to be on with you.
Well, you know, I've probably overthought this, but the term laugh out loud, or as we usually see it, LOL, is common in text messaging and Facebook postings, among other places. Does it have anything to do with the laugh out loud title of the show?
You know, I think you're right on the money with that one. Second City is wonderful with coming up with titles for shows, and we like to keep our titles current, and many titles are kind of have that punny nature. So you're completely right on the money with that. The Laugh Out Loud Tour, LOL, yes.
Oh.
I think we wanted to take a little bit of a wink to, you know, the shorthand LOL, but the tour itself, we hope it actually will make you laugh out loud.
Uh-huh. That was going to be my second question then. If my first one was, you know, full of it, why, perhaps I would ask then if it just makes you really laugh out loud. Well, let's get on to the show a little bit. Second City being an improvisational theater. So do audiences see a different show every night, or has it been basically set before the company goes on the road?
Well, that's a great question, Jim. The show we'll be doing in Ladysmith is going to be a combination of our sketch material, which we will have written before the show. A lot of that written material is also archive material from our 52-year history. There will also be places between the sketches where we will be improvising, making things up completely on the spot. So it's a really good mixture. So although some sketches remain the same from show to show, the improv every night is always different. So, yes, the audience will never see the same show twice.
Uh-huh. So I gather then that you all do some of the writing for the show as you go along?
Yes, we do. We do.
How many are in the cast?
We have a cast of five and one musical director, Taliski Ramey, who's unbelievably talented. He accompanies us through the entire show, and he improvises himself on the piano, which is just amazing. And we have one stage manager with us as well. So in total, a company of seven, and five of which of us are actors.
Now, are there a lot of sets, or you do just pretty much a few chairs and a table or something?
You know, we just really only have four plain old chairs up there with us,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we'll use them, sometimes we don't. Not much of a set at all.
Just curious, I was looking at the schedule for the Laugh Out Loud tour, and some of it looks like logistically impossible. How many touring companies are there?
We have three touring companies based out of the Second City, Chicago, and each company has the five actors, just like ours, and a musical director and a stage manager. So we have three companies covering those tours simultaneously.
I see. She is Kate Friedman, who is a member of the cast of the Second City Laugh Out Loud tour that's appearing Saturday night at the Ladysmith High School Auditorium. Well, let's talk about you for a while. How long have you been with Second City, and how did you get started?
Oh, wow. Well, I've had the honor of being at Second City for a very long time. One of the wonderful things about the Second City Chicago is their training center, and that training center offers classes for children and adults. So I was lucky enough to have grown up in Chicago where I could take advantage of those. So I saw my first Second City show at around 12, and later that year when school was out for the summer, I took my first class in sketch comedy, and I studied in the training center from 2002 till 2009. And in 2009, I graduated the conservatory program. Shortly after that, I was hired as an understudy to the National Touring Company.
And how long have you been, what do we say, full-time performer? How does that work?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, Jim. I understudied for a year for the touring company right up until this past fall. And in October, I joined the touring company Redco, we're called. We're the ones coming to Ladysmith. Mm-hmm. I joined Redco in October of last year. It hasn't been too long.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to your website, when you're not performing with Second City, you're part of a group called the Katydid. So let's talk about that crew for a while.
Oh, absolutely. I would be happy to. The Katydid is a six-member, all-female group. Many of us work at Second City in some capacity, but we are based out of the IO Chicago Theater, which is the other improv game in town here in Chicago. And we are all, honestly, we all share the same name. We're all named Kate.
Uh-huh.
So we started as an improv group, blossomed into sort of a smaller business, if you will. We do improv shows every week. We've done sketch shows. We have a handful of videos online. It's just a really wonderful thing.
Well, you've done stage and film work and commercial voiceovers. Do you have a preference?
Oh, gosh. I honestly love it all. I really, really love it all. I mean, obviously, touring with Second City has been my dream since I was 12, so I'd say that one might take the cake over everything else. I mean, everything's wonderful, but touring with Second City, part of a theater that has such a rich history, and I get to work with so many wonderful people, wonderful actors, you know, wonderful directors, wonderful musicians and stage managers. I mean, I think that is probably my favorite accomplishment to date, for sure.
What do you see for yourself in the future? Are you just going to drift along and see what comes up, or do you have some idea what you want to do? And, well, stereotyped question, what do you see yourself doing in 10 years?
I mean, honestly, it changes every day for me. Today's the day I think I'm going to float along and do what comes my way, and then tomorrow might be a day where I have a very specific plan of attack, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to audition for this, and I think just being along for the ride is the best. It's the best plan, because that way you can enjoy all of it. You know, of course, I have dreams to do, you know, big things. But I mean, right now I'm very content living the dream, traveling with Second City. Last week, actually, I had an audition for Saturday Night Live.
Really?
Yes, they were in town in Chicago. We did a little showcase for a few producers and a handful of writers for the show. And I know they went to see the resident stages at Second City, and it was just really fun. I didn't know I was going to audition for them until maybe 5 days prior to the audition. So, I mean, I'd love to tell you that I have a plan, but I haven't the slightest clue.
I guess the idea is to keep on dreaming, huh?
Yes, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one, absolutely.
Well, we've been visiting with Kate Friedman, a member of the cast of the Second City Laugh Out Loud Tour. The group will perform as part of the Flambeau Valley Artists Association's current season. Show begins at 7:30 p.m. Saturday at the Ladysmith High School Auditorium. Well, Kate Friedman, you've been a delight to talk to. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, likewise, Jim. It's just been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
There you go, Jim Oliver. Tomorrow evening at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory, the annual delicacy that combines the poetry and songs of Scotland's great poet Robert Burns, and that anticipated culinary surprise, the haggis. 7:30. There's also the student art exhibit up through the end of January. Info at 268-6811. That's area code 715. Hang in there. WPR News is next, after which we'll meet and listen to John Gorka. Jim Oliver's back with What's on Stage. And they'll be crawling next weekend at Banbury Place in Eau Claire. This is Spectrum West. We'll be back. Here's what's on stage this weekend and beyond at Western Wisconsin theater venues. The Menominee Theater Guild's Red Cedar Youth Stage will present the improvisational show We Meant to Do That tonight and Saturday at the Mabel Tainter Theater in Menominee. The audience participation show Little Red Riding Hood will be on stage at 10:30 a.m. Saturday and 2 p.m. Sunday at the Old Gem Theater in New Richmond. Tuna Does Vegas plays tonight, Saturday, and Sunday at the Fanny Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. The production will run through April 1st. The Baron Spotlighters production of Death by Golf concludes this weekend with performances tonight, Saturday, and Sunday at the Baron Area Community Center.
The Phipps Center for the Arts will present Radio Days tonight, Saturday, and Sunday at the Phipps in Hudson. And the Eau Claire Children's Theater will present Bingo the Musical tonight and Saturday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire. The Children's Theater will hold Spotlight Act auditions at 5:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Oxford Theater in Eau Claire for Kids Cabaret. This year's theme is On Broadway. Performers must be 14 and under. Up to 10 acts will be selected. One performance will be given on Friday, February the 10th. Community Arts of Fall Creek will hold auditions for Among the Thorns, The Passion of Christ, at 7 p.m. February 6th at Faith Evangelical Free Church in Fall Creek. And that's some of what's happening in theaters around the region. I'm Jim Oliver.
Here's something else happening on a stage, an entertainment stage, Sirens of the 60s. Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock at the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. Great songs from female artists from the 60s decade. Tickets, MabelTainter.com. By phone, 715-235-0001. Welcome back, everybody. This is Spectrum West. I'm Al Ross, along with pals Jim Oliver and Ellen Zamaripa doing promotional support and, gosh, cast of thousands. Hey, the Banbury Art Crawl is getting its legs as one of the premier art and social events of the year. And come next weekend, it'll be only 3 years old. Joellen Burke, a co-chair of this year's event, stopped by with the information we need. You know, the impressive thing for me is hearing after the fact. This is only the third anniversary, so for 2 years, you've had some pretty impressive crowds. And I think it's a combination of, first of all, we have to admit there's good stuff there and,
yes,
and good artists, good people. Plus, it's pretty convenient, one location.
Yes, and we're so thankful to Jack Kaiser, and Banbury Place is historic. Obviously, the former Uniroyal, and what's evolved from that is this terrific combination of business and artists, and you don't see that very often. So our community has come together in such a wonderful place that we figured February is the perfect time.
Super Bowl weekend.
Yes.
But you get in just, you're kind of a pregame thing.
We're kind of a pregame thing, and we're looking forward to the idea that it's a young and old type of draw. We can't believe the cross-section of generations. This year, something new that we'll have, along with several things, includes something for kids. Mm. So Cindy Kaiser will be providing some good kid activities.
Quite a combination. I mean, artistic media, there are hundreds of them worldwide, but you have a lot of them represented. Tell us about some of them.
Well, they really run the gamut, and it includes not only participating residents of Banbury who have businesses and businesses that might be involved in art, but we have others that would be woodworking. We have golf clubs, of course. We have
golf clubs.
Golf clubs, the Morley Custom Golf Clubs, huh. Dave Morley has had for a number of years in partnership with several others. Mm. So they provide that type of thing. We have custom interiors. We have people working with fabric design and wood crafts. Clothing and accessories now are existing there. A new cafe that was started,
okay.
Better Life Cafe by Sherwood and Layla Wilson. That's an exciting and beautiful place to go. Photography, textiles, basketry. It just goes on and on. There's really something in every realm of art.
We are speaking with Joellen Burke, and she is co-chair for the third annual Art Crawl. You Gotta Have Art, Banbury Place. It is next Friday and Saturday. In addition to places to stop and people to talk to, you are having some other amenities like live demonstrations, which I suppose speak for themselves. The spontaneous poetry kind of intrigues me. Is that people just going to be walking along and they suddenly burst out in a poem?
You never know. That can always happen. Uh-huh. That will be something that will probably take place at the Better Life Cafe, including some music. Larry Past and Al Jolson, who have become fixtures in our community, mm-hmm. along with the ukulele club, will be playing.
Oh, I've
so there's something
that, yeah.
for the eyes and ears and for the hands in terms of the demonstrations that might be very active, wood turning, glass blowing, many things for sale. It's just a delightful place. We find people's response is just so positive. They ask us again and again when we will be doing this. So this year we thought it would be best to do it year after year instead of waiting a year. Mm-hmm. We're that eager.
And did the word crawl come in because you have wine tasting?
We hope not.
No.
The wine tasting is a wonderful feature. People are really drawn to that, as well as pizza and other things. But the founder and really the heart behind this is Lori Beese. And thanks to Lori, her vision and her plan for this that just stemmed from a very basic desire to bring people out, to let them see what goes on in our artistic community, in the business sense as well, the many patrons that are residents at Banbury. It's just an incredible environment, a lovely place for people to see and to see what goes on daily in our community with these artists.
And people will be able to sustain themselves at the cafe.
Wonderful food. We'll have wraps, cafe items, coffee, teas, along with the wine. And there is a beer brewer in Banbury as well. Wonderful people that are willing to share their trade.
Tell me about where the proceeds are going, because they're going to a good friend, aren't they?
A very good friend. The Eau Claire Regional Arts Center has been an establishment and a real foundation in our community. We feel that they are very deserving of any proceeds we have. This has been a volunteer endeavor, and ECRAC has been so involved. They've been helping with volunteering for this, as well as so many other things in the community. So we felt it was only fitting that they receive any proceeds.
Previously, we spoke about the convenience of this event. It's in one place. And what place is that? Because Banbury is fairly large.
It is large. If you think of Building 13, and if you think of the green awning and Galloway Street, you really can't miss it. It comes as you go down Galloway Street, or if you turn and go down the parallel street, which is Wisconsin, there will be parking in both areas. This year, we're going to do a lot better, I think, at organizing parking. We'll have people directing traffic. We have enormous areas for parking, so that shouldn't be a problem. And finding it, as people always recognize with the very large Banbury Swan, you can look to that as well.
That is one of my favorite things. I don't just go out of my way to go past it, but when I do, I notice it. You have a neat website, too, that you want to throw some accolades out for. Plus, give us the address.
It's a first, really, in the sense that it's a very functioning, high-functioning website, thanks to Sherwood Wilson, one of our committee members. It is banburyartcrawl.com, one word. It will take you to not only the site and some details, directions, but a listing of all the artists and the artists' website and different information about them. It's just a terrific site.
Thanks, Joellen Burke, co-chair of this year's event. Again, the website is Banbury, that's Banbury, artcrawl.com. And the event is next Friday and Saturday. See you there.
Wisconsin Public Radio is online at WPR.org. It's a great way to stay in touch. And you'll find program information, news features, archive programs, and much, much more. Visit us anytime at WPR.org.
Thank you so much, sir. The Festival Theater's 2012 season subscription sale's on, and a special thank you gift to companies' purchases made by the end of this month. 5 plays and 12 concerts in the upcoming season. The website, festivaltheater.org, has all the information you need. Leave Me Tender is the featured exhibit at the L.A. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire, opening Sunday and running through February 17th. Let's see. There's an exhibit of works by a Stillwater artist, Jane Grant Abin. We've had her on the show, and her young students now on display at the Stillwater Public Library through February 29th. Blues on the Chip was having a fundraising event. That's this Sunday from 6 to 10 p.m. at Sherry's Chippewa Club in Durand. Nothing But Cash, featuring renditions of Johnny June Carter and Roseanne Cash songs. Yeah, that's good stuff. This is Spectrum West. My name is Al Ross. Thank you so much for being with us on this kind of a snowy Friday, the 27th of January. Drive carefully. Tomorrow night, the stage of the beautiful Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls welcomes John Gorka. I've seen his name for years. I heard he was a darn good performer and writer of songs, so I jumped at the chance to make his acquaintance, if only, for now, on the telephone. The welcome on your website says, "Most of my time and energy goes into making music in the non-virtual world." And then you go on to say, "That means a lot of traveling, coming up with new songs, recalling or learning old songs, and making new recordings." So
yeah.
From that, I have to conclude that you're kind of a basic guy. So tell me about your early days and where John Gorka came from, geographically and philosophically.
Sure. I grew up in Colonia, New Jersey, which is part of Woodbridge Township in central Jersey, mm-hmm. and started playing banjo, and in high school I loved the sound of the banjo. Started playing guitar about 6 months later, and started writing songs pretty much around the same time. My brother plays guitar, so he taught me some things, and the rest I've been more self-taught. I moved to Pennsylvania to go to school in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, at Moravian College. There I encountered some musically like-minded friends.
Late 70s?
That was, end of August in 76.
Okay.
Yeah, and formed the Razzy Dazzy Spasm Band. I was mainly the banjo player, but I would sing harmony and I'd sing lead on some of the ballads and stuff.
Are you a finger picker or a frailer?
Finger picking is what I was attracted to. I like the claw hammer and the frailing style, but I'm not quite as good at that. I can get the basic motion, but I always loved the sound of the banjo, and that led me into the kind of the acoustic music world and the world of songwriters. It seemed like writing songs, I was able to put more of my whole self into the songs and writing and singing them than instrumentals on the banjo. I was not the virtuoso I needed to be.
And so you were in Pennsylvania for a while. You're now in Minnesota.
Yeah, I was in Pennsylvania for almost 20 years, moved to Minnesota in 96, and got married. Been here since then.
Philosophically, I brought up the word philosophical,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and I, you know, asking about your philosophy isn't too far off base because you started down that educational path initially, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. And I was a philosophy and history major in college. I like that stuff. My approach to music philosophically is I guess, of I don't know what kind of music I do. I don't run from the word folk music. If I'm a folk singer, then yeah, I think it's an honorable thing. But I don't know, you know, I don't know what kind of music I do because I'm kind of discovering it as I go along. Naming and categorizing comes later.
So back then, when you were pursuing some educational goals, music was just a part of who you were. But then it sort of took over. Huh?
Right. Yeah. I think going into college, I wanted to learn as much as I could about the things that I was interested in, and not so much about, you know, getting a job or a career out of that. I was interested in history and big ideas, and I think in college I discovered Godfrey Daniels Coffee House on the south side of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and that was where I saw the kind of performer I realized I wanted to become. Some of the people I saw there, the songs and their music, it seemed to be uncompromised. It was not cut down to fit into any commercial box, and that was very inspiring to me. You know, it seemed more like literature than what I heard on the radio or I saw on TV.
You sound like a guy who understands the value of roots and having roots. You've returned to them with your record company. You sing about your own. Is introspection a new trend, or have you always rummaged around your attic for things to write and sing about?
I guess I've always looked. I've always looked in first because I think I'm on the shy side and socially awkward. So music was my way of connecting with people in ways I couldn't connect under normal social circumstances.
Well, that makes sense.
That's still the way it is for me. I feel like a song is a combination of what I can find the words for, plus what I can't find the words for, but might be able to express in the sounds and in the music.
Our guest is John Gorka. You, I'm sure, have heard his name, seen posters around of his appearances. He does travel through the Midwest, but he travels extensively. He's bringing his talents tomorrow night to the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls.
Yeah, I try to stay out, go out as much as I can, but stay home as much as I can to keep things going here. I usually am on for 2 weekends and then coming home in between, and then try not to do more than 2 weekends in a row.
Do you like to play a variety of venues? Do you like to play places like that favorite place of yours in Bethlehem?
Daniels. Yeah, I like all different kinds of places. That's one of the things that I think helped with the music, too, starting out playing not only in places where people listened really intently, but also in barrooms where they did not, in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you connected with people in those settings, you were really doing something. And so I think there's a visceral kind of quality that comes across in bars and restaurants,
mm-hmm.
even though most of the places I play now are very much listening kind of situations. But I think that was a helpful thing to find out which songs would come across.
That's kind of neat perspective. I don't think I've ever thought of it that way. I mean, it's almost like if you play in a social setting and the people are spellbound, it's kind of a victory of sorts.
Yes.
Because in
yes.
a theater, they have to sit and
right,
listen to it.
Yeah, they're that's kind of expected. But if you can turn heads in a place where it's not expected, then you're kind of heading towards the universal bone.
When someone leaves a John Gorka performance, do you want them to feel a certain way? Do you want them to, what, know you better, have a deeper understanding of anything, or what do you want them to leave with?
I guess I hope that I connect with them, and I hope that they're moved by the songs and experiences kind of that move me and to create the songs. I feel like what I do, the strength of what I do is what I have in common with people and not what I have that's all that different.
Hmm.
So I just try to give an overview, of songs from different records at different times in my life, different places, and try to bring them into that present moment. And I try to be open to suggestions that the audience might have that mm-hmm. may be better than the one I was thinking about doing next.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. I was sent an MP3 of the song "Ignorance and Privilege."
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Neat song.
It's a song about unearned advantage.
Is this an autobiography?
Well, yes. I was trying to find out how to get that kind of idea across, and I tried a number of ways, and I ended up just telling it from my own life. Like I said before, even though it's one person's experience, I think a lot of other people, especially in that time, went through. But I think it comes from that. I often say that the verses, I think, belong largely to the past, but the chorus, I think, is a contemporary thing.
To ignorance, yes, and lesser poverties. I was born to privilege that I did not see. Like a pigment in my skin, want a free and easy end. Didn't know it, but my way was paid. I grew up a Catholic boy in a northeastern state, a place when asked where you from, some people tend to hesitate, reply a little bit late, as if maybe you didn't read. I was born to ignorance and privilege. My dad ran a printing press, a tag and label factory. May have seen it as a child, now a distant memory, almost too faint to see. Dark red brick factory, didn't know it, but my way was paved. We moved from a city street shortly after I arrived to a house on a gravel road where I learned to be alive. I'll walk, run, and ride. That's where I learned to come alive. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. If the wind is at your back and you never turn around, you may never know the wind is there. You may never hear the at home and dream at night, even be a college fool like I had any right. Never went through a war, never Great Depression poor. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. Nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel, back against the wall, maybe. At your back and you never turn.
riches and lesser poverties. I was born to privilege that I did not see. Like a pigment in my skin, want a free and easy. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. 'Cause I was born to ignorance and privilege.
Yikes. Man, I like that song almost too much for my own good. Whew. A CD is called So Dark You See. His most recent offering from 2009, but don't let that fool you, because John Gorka is continuously writing music, and it's stuff that makes a difference. You can see and hear John Gorka tomorrow evening, beginning at 8 o'clock at the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Singer-songwriter Rose Cousins is going to open the show. You want tickets, don't you? Well, cvca.net is where you go on the internet, cvca.net. Get them by phone, too, at 715-726-9000, 715-726-9000. Or just walk up the steps, show up, and buy the tickets at the door. Coming up next week on Spectrum West, artist Greg Rochester and his unique show at the Phipps Center, Le Tour d'Art. Some pretty cool-looking bicycles. Books guy Rob Reed will be here to talk about awards and children's books, and we'll talk about electronic versus holding an actual book, the present and the future. Jim Oliver talks with Patty Miller, director of the Northern Star Theater Company, dinner theater production of Adventures in Mating by Minnesota playwright Joseph Scrimshaw. My name is Al Ross. Thanks to Jim Oliver and everybody else involved with putting on Spectrum West every week. We'll do it again next Friday, beginning at 5. Have a nice weekend and drive with care.